Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
The Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
And welcome to the 411th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, with your SAT word of the day, evasive co-host, Sublime Manic.
Hello.
And Linian.
Hey, I can get on the trivia board.
Listen, the only thing evasive about me is the sun, because it is not up yet where I'm at.
So... The thing that I think is more evasive is the fact that how the three of us got together for this show is because Jushiro was the evasive one, and he was originally scheduled. And then we picked up Sublime instead. But that was due to no fault of his own. I don't want him to feel like we're trying to brag on him. So that's where we are. Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name I came up with when I was 16 in 2007. And welcome back if you're old, and I'm sure you hate that intro by now, but you know what? Somebody hasn't heard it yet. But we talk everything Pokemon, from the video game to the trading card game to, I don't know. Anything else Pokemon? We talked Pokemon Masters that one time.
Pokemon Masters.
We even talked about that once. I think there have been like a couple of topics that like we've steered away from, only because I thought that they were just gonna fizzle out. And the one thing, so I don't want to bring this up during the news segment, only because I think it's a funny happenstance that's happened recently. But one of the things that's happened was I realized that there's like an exclusive shirt you can get through the secret club in Japan for Pokemon Sword and Shield, and it's a Pokemon Quest shirt that I was almost certain that Pokemon had forgotten about this game because they hadn't done anything to it since its release.
I mean, I certainly had forgotten Pokemon Quest existed until I saw that shirt.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, they remembered that it existed, because I always assumed, because Pokemon Quest, for those of you who are unaware, is a free-to-play game that you can go grab on either your Switch or even on your phone right now. And it only contains the first generation one Pokemon, and the artwork is very much so resembling that of Pixelcraft, or Pixelmons.
Yes.
It's very close to that, which is why Pokemon issued that DMCA for Pixelmons a while back. But it only contains Gen 1 Pokemon, and we all assumed, oh, maybe we'll get some updates, kind of like Pokemon Go, and they'll put the rest of the Pokemon in. And then it just never happened.
It's an almost enjoyable game.
Almost. I will say almost. It's essentially Pokemon Rumble. Let's be completely honest. It's essentially Pokemon Rumble.
It's Pokemon Rumble without the ability to, move.
Yeah, with that. Well, if you play the new Pokemon Rumble on phones, it's pretty much the same thing. You don't get a lot of control in the new Pokemon Rumble.
That is fair. It's slightly worse that.
Yeah, it's slightly worse that. But it's such a weird game, and I didn't realize they remembered it until just now. Until this morning when I was reading the news to like catch up on everything that was going on, because I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've had a heck of a week trying to get readjusted, and I still haven't been readjusted on my sleep schedule since coming back from Japan. So I sleep between like the hours of like 3 and 7 now. And it's very confusing for me, and I don't know what's happening.
AM or PM?
Both.
That's what I thought.
The answer is both.
If you combine those, you get 8 hours.
Exactly. It's very, I like, apparently I just don't handle jet lag well at all. I also haven't had a full day off since, like, since I came back from Japan. Like, essentially I kind of came back from Japan and then I had to go to work the next day. So I didn't get like an extra day to recover. And honestly, that would have happened regardless, because I'm not sure if anybody's aware, because it didn't really hit the US news. But while I was in Japan, there was a super typhoon. Yeah. And so, since I work a government job, I get Columbus Day. That's what they call it, off.
And you mean Indigenous Peoples Day?
Yes, it's officially called Columbus Day, and that's what they give me
anyway,
off. But
anyway.
We can have that discussion another day. So I was coming back that Monday anyway. Thankfully, that worked out, because the super typhoon hit Tokyo on like Saturday, like evening. And I would not have been able to make it to the airport on Sunday if we had tried to leave on Sunday. And I sure as heck wouldn't have been able to leave on Saturday, because they canceled all flights out of the airport on Sunday, or on Saturday as well. So it was a nasty time.
I followed your adventures through Misty on Facebook.
Oh yeah,
she put up
a ton of stuff on Facebook,
keeping me updated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'll probably start trickling in some pictures here and there about what we did. Because I mean, we went to, like, I think we hit up something like 5 Pokemon centers. First of all, one of them was garbage. I'm going to just throw this out there. Never go to the Tokyo Station Pokemon Center. Not worth it.
You heard it here?
Not
garbage.
Worth it. It's the absolute worst one. For some reason, it just doesn't have anything that's like special to it. Every Pokemon center has something a little bit different about each one. Whether it just be like an exclusive like Pikachu plush that's just for that Pokemon center. Or something. But the one at the Tokyo Station was just really bad. And it also had inflated prices compared to the rest of them. The rest of them had standard prices across the board. This one was just more expensive for some reason. It was just like an extra 10% on top. It was really weird. Yeah, it was definitely weird. But what have you guys been up to this week?
I haven't been on in a month, and somehow nothing has happened. Life is not interesting.
True.
Yeah, well, nothing eventful has happened.
That's eventful. You have midterms coming up.
Yeah, that's true. School sucks.
There you go. Yeah, there you
go. Yeah, I've just been living that school life. That's been my month. But other than that, just kind of been going.
That's your truth. I get it. What about you, Sublime? It's been a whole week since you've been on the show.
It's been a whole 5 days since I last recorded or something. I tried to play a little bit of Pokemon Master since they issued that apology.
Which apology?
That's something I tried. The apology for it being a mess and how they're going to try and fix it.
So, wait, did they do a second apology?
No, it was the big apology with it's like, hey, we realize the game is not good for the following reasons, and we're going to work on it.
I didn't know about that one.
We listened to last week's episode.
Okay, I didn't know about that. Okay.
We went in. About how, like, oh, everyone was saying, oh, you're saying this game's going to fail when it's not, and then they had to issue an apology because it was a failure, so.
I am not upset with that. I'm going to be completely honest, because we called it as we saw it. Okay.
Yep.
Just say
okay.
It.
So if you said we were mean for it, the makers agree. So
yeah.
You need to step
up. Oh man,
up.
That is absolutely true. If you just look at the revenue, if you look at the first, so they reported the first week numbers for Pokemon Masters and it was like $25 million, which is pretty big, because that's like the second biggest.
Nice,
That's the second biggest mobile game profit they've
made.
It's
a gacha with Pokemon, you know.
Yeah.
So
and so, like, that's pretty big. Like, except for Pokemon Go, no other app has made that much money for Pokemon. And then literally, they released like the 1 month numbers, and the 1 month numbers said they only made like $32 million after that. Like, it was $32 million total. So you take away that first week, so that means it just like died right afterwards. I think they just front loaded it. I think that was their problem. They just front loaded.
Well, there's a lot of problems. Listen to last week's episode. We discussed it a bit because
there's a lot of problems.
There were a lot of problems, but they're apparently going to address it. And you should log in if you're interested in looking at it in the future, because they keep giving you apology gems, and that's nice.
That's nice. That's nice of them.
You can save them up for when it's good, and then you'll have all the gems.
Pretty big if there.
I'm not going to hold my breath. I'm going to be completely honest.
I think they will revamp it, you know? They'll revamp. Give it a year. It's going to take a year.
Other than that, I went to Japan.
Yes, you did.
I got a lot of Pokemon stuff.
Okay, I have a question. Yeah. I have a question about your Japan trip. That was a picture you posted.
Yes.
Of a bunch of restaurants. It wasn't of any food. Not the food pictures.
Oh, are you talking about which one?
The one with egg slut. And I'm like, what is in this picture? I don't understand.
Oh, see, I didn't realize that was in the U.S. I'm going to be completely honest.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a chain.
I did not know. I did not know that.
Gotta live in L.A., okay?
I did not know that. Mm. So there's your problem. And so my wife pointed it out to me, and she thought it was funny, and so she told me to take a picture.
Well, the next vacation should be L.A., and you can eat there, too.
Next vacation's probably going to be Honolulu.
That's a better choice.
I'm probably.
But if you wanted to go to Egg Slut, L.A.
Next vacation's probably going to be Honolulu. I'm going to go to Lulu's Cafe on the Waikiki Strip, get a Loco Moco, sit there, drink some adult beverages.
I do love a Loco Moco.
That's cute that you think that's the local place to go.
It's not the local place to go. It's So, like, I'm 100% okay with being a tourist at...
Lenny, it's calling you basic.
That's fine. I'm okay with it. Like, that's fine by me. Like, if you came to Dayton, Ohio, you're like, I want to go to Denny's. I'm not going to put it past you either. Like, you go to
well,
Denny's.
I mean, that's because that's kind of all you got.
I do know some local places now in Dayton. If you guys really want to go to some local places, we found some, like, there's a really good breakfast place here, but it's like classic Midwest breakfast. You have to, like,
So, like, grits? Too much breakfast?
Bacon? Eggs?
Well, like, biscuits and gravy, I think, is pretty Midwest. Like, that's hard Midwest.
I do love a good biscuit and gravy.
But yeah, that is just tasty.
Yeah, and so, like, they have, like, probably the best in Dayton, Ohio.
Give me the diabetes.
They also do this thing that's, instead of biscuits and gravy, this has nothing to do with Pokemon, but instead of biscuits and gravy, what they do is they give you, they'll also make up, like, chicken strips, like, you know, like you went to, like, Wendy's and, well, not Wendy's, but you went to, like, Dairy Queen and got the chicken strip basket. They take those and they put them on top of biscuits, and then they put the gravy on top of that.
Oh, be still my beating heart, because if you eat that, you certainly will be still.
Yes. Oh. Yes. It's absolutely delicious.
I believe that.
So
it's like chicken and waffles, but chicken and biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, it's a good time. All right, though. On that note, but before we go on to too many other things,
and that was your Pokemon update from us.
That's your Pokemon update of the week.
Oh, so the one thing I do want to mention before I forget is so one of the things that I got super obsessed with while I was there is Pokemon has recently been starting to put out, this is a thing that most animes and, like, video game franchises have been doing. They've been putting out, I had to look it up to make sure I got the name correct. I believe it is called Shikishi Art. Shikishi Art. And it's, so I brought back a bunch of those, and Puckle bought a bunch of them as well. And so I only have series 2 because series 1 is out of print now, which is really sad. Because series 1 had, like, a lot of cool Gen 1 stuff, but series 2 has a bunch of cool Gen 2 stuff. I will be back to, like, my normal schedule for Puckle stuff this week, and one of those things is going to be back to the stream. And I want to try to give away some of these on the stream.
And I think we'd agree, as we discussed today, we could do with some more love for not Gen 1.
Yeah.
So that's good.
We could definitely talk about that a little bit. If you want some cool Gen 2 stuff, this stuff is really cool. I'm going to try to give one away per, like, episode that we record for YouTube, on Twitch this week. So go to twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast to get some cool Japan exclusive art. All right. And on that note, we will kick it on over to the news.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And welcome to the news. There has been some news other than the stuff that we're going to try to cover in the topic today. So let's get through it. First of all, last chance to get a shiny Tapu Koko. If you participated in the final the ultra final online competition, You can go ahead and download your shiny Tapu Koko from the global link right now, which is actually really good. You can get that until November 28th. So be sure to do that.
If you participated.
If you participated, that is true. So that's the first piece of news to grab. The second is Pokemon Go has a pretty sweet event going on right now. Sweet. You see what I did there? But okay. And so it is the Halloween 2019 event. They typically always do something. They drop some new Pokemon in because first, I think we get like Litwick now and Yamask.
Yeah. Litwick was already in.
Yeah. Litwick was already available. I was about to say. You can get a shiny Yamask, and also they have costumed Bulbasaur, Squirtle, Charmander, and Pikachu, which is very cute on top of that. There was actually a ton of merchandise in Japan for these guys as well, which was also adorable. They're just so cute. I think they're on the actual PokemonCenter.com website in the US too.
They are.
If you really want them. Yeah. So you can get them there as well. And then, yeah, Darkrai made it to 5-star raids, though I've been hearing that it's been pushed to like a tier 6 status or something like that, which is weird.
Ooh, oh my.
It's got a massive load of stats that makes a lot of the little 5-stars from before look yeah. pretty small. So you can't take it out with the normal number. You're going to need a group for mm-hmm. that, like a really big group.
The only thing I wish that Pokemon Go would do in terms of like raids is I wish they would make it easier for people to signal that, hey, we're looking for a raiding party in mm-hmm. the app. I think that would be the one improvement I would make to Pokemon Go right now, other than like overall, like maybe better drops of like Unova and Sinnoh stones, but whatevs.
There's just more Unova Pokemon. I feel like when every other generation was released, they were more common. And I did not feel that with Unova.
Yeah, I agree with. I mean, I still haven't caught any of the starters, and like
I haven't either. And I've been trying. Yeah, because they added my baby.
Yeah.
Okay, and I have not found it.
Like even when I was in Tokyo, like I would see them on the radar all the time, but they'd be like miles
yes,
away.
Yes, it is always like taunting me. Snivy's outline is constantly taunting me, and right? it is nowhere to be seen.
Right?
I don't think there's a Gen 5 that I haven't caught multiple of. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Okay, college boy.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly the right thought. but in addition, you can also get 2x catch candy, 2x hatch candy, and 2x transfer candy. And yeah, there's also a new special research featuring Spiritomb. Once again, if you would like another, I mean, this is nice that you can catch multiple Spiritomb this way though, because you still couldn't catch Spiritomb any other way other than this one.
And I never got it the first time. So this is a relief.
I'm okay with it. I'm not going to complain or be mad about
it. No, Spiritomb. Yeah, they need to give people a way to get it every year. So there you go.
I appreciate that because I feel like especially with a lot of the raids and how they cycle, especially with the number of Pokemon that have been exclusive to raids so far, also with this this flower crown Eevee from the research. That's been really frustrating. The other thing that Pokemon Go has announced is I think it's a $7.99 pass to get Regigigas.
Early.
Oh, you can get it. You can pay to get gross. Regigigas early. It also kind that's of guarantees gross. You Regigigas.
So the event is not, it hasn't started yet. It's coming later.
I think it's the beginning of November.
Yeah, I believe it's like the first week of November.
I found it. It is, so it's called the Colossal Discovery and it'll run on November 2nd, 2019 from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. local time if you purchase an in-game ticket. This features early access to Regigigas, the use of 10 raid passes for free during the event. It's not free, you just paid $7.99 for it. A Sinnoh Stone and a Unova Stone. Which is honestly, I don't know. That might be worth $7.99 to me. in addition to that, from November 1st through November 4th, Regirock, Regice, and Registeel will be in raids again and can be shiny. Plus, the following Pokemon will be appearing more often in the wild: Geodude, Magnemite, Swinub, Aran, and Sfeel. The following Pokemon will be hatching more often from eggs: Aerodactyl, Shuckle, Sneasel, Skarmory, Snorunt, and Beldum. Following a Colossal Discovery event, Regigigas will also be available in EX raids. So if you don't want to deal with the EX raid nonsense, which I think is an issue in and of itself,
choice.
You can go pay $7.99 and get around that loophole. And I think, honestly, I kind of want to pay into it just so I continue to have the option moving forward.
Can you buy it with the equivalent in coins?
No. I don't know.
Is it cash only, or can you buy it with coins?
We don't know. They haven't said no, but everything I have seen leads me to believe that you cannot buy it with coins.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like that.
My advice to people is to go get an Android phone and just do like the Google surveys. Like, I'm going to be completely honest. I've made like $20 in like the past 3 months on Google surveys.
How do you do that? I have an Android phone.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about it off air. But if you go download like a Google surveys app and you give your overlord Google your information and let it track you.
I mean, I feel like they should already have my information.
They probably already do. They probably already do.
I might as well get paid back for it.
But what happens is, like, if you go to, like, whenever I go to the grocery store or something, it'll send me a survey the next day asking me if I went to the grocery store and how I paid for my groceries. And then it gives me like 30 cents. And so it's actually a fairly decent payout. Like, I mean, when I go to the gym, it asks me if I went to the gym and if I bought anything. I'm like, no, I went to the gym. And it's like, okay, here, have a nickel, or have a quarter. And then, so it adds up over time. It's decent though. It's decent. I think I got a political survey the other day as well through it, which was really weird. But like I said, I've made like $20 in like the past 3 months just through Google surveys.
And that could be a good way to fund Pokemon Go.
That is how I fund Pokemon Go. That is how I fund Pokemon Go. I do that. It is not available on iOS, unfortunately. But if you have
that's just what you deserve. So get an Android.
If you have an Android phone, this is what you get. Though. Other than that, I don't know. Like there's not much else. I mean, Pokemon Masters has an Elsa spotlight, a Elisa spotlight.
Elisa, it's black to white too, and it's not good because. So here's the funny, another broken thing we didn't talk about last time of Pokemon Masters: recoil moves and bosses.
Yeah,
it's just like how raids are in Pokemon Go, where they have a ton of HP. Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. You take a percentage of the damage you deal.
Yep.
But you're fighting something that has like 100 times your HP, so you do a lot of damage and you die in one hit. It's the dumbest mechanic ever.
I believe that.
It's like, oh, get this 5-star exclusive and then die in one hit when you try to do any of our content, because that's how we designed it.
And then finally, the final thing I want to talk about, because we do have a listenership in the UK, is that the London Pokemon Center is open currently. And Sarah B got to reveal all four of the exclusive items to this Pokemon Center, which are a set of sleeves, a playmat, and two different pins.
The playmat is pretty sharp.
I'm a fan of the playmat. I'm not gonna
lie. That's the only thing I think I would want to know. Yeah.
Yeah, they have like Pokemon Center in general just has like a bunch of stuff. It's surreal like walking around them. I do have to admit. Like there's a lot of cool stuff that we don't get here. That is over there, in the actual Pokemon Center stores, which makes me wish that we had like a physical one outside of Japan, and not in the Philippines. It's not in the Philippines. It's in Singapore.
We had our chance and we blew it.
Yes and no. So I would like to point out one thing the U.S. has that, Japan does not, and that is a dedicated Nintendo store. Fun fact. They do not have one of those. They will have it in November. I should make that clarification. But up until November, they just never had one. It was such a, like, because I was just looking into it because I'm like, oh man, maybe I can go buy those Pikachu and Eevee like Joy-Cons, because I know they sell them separately in Japan. And I'm like, that'd be really cool to just go pick those up. And the problem is they only sell them on an online retailer in Japan. So you couldn't pick them up physically, which made me a little sad because like I was kind of hoping that I could go there and like pick up some like exclusive like Nintendo swag like that you could only get from Japan. But unfortunately, the store doesn't open until like the end of November. And so I couldn't go while I was there. But on that note, I think that's everything here in the Pokemon news. We are going to take a short break and we're going to come right back at you with Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Hey And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. That means they can't use any outside help. They can only use one another. Sublime and Linian are going to be acting as a team today to answer five.
Tag team, yeah.
Yeah.
Five Pokemon-themed trivia questions, which are brought to you from our Discord server. So go to our Discord server if you want to submit trivia questions. And we're going to sift through those and find some good ones and ask these guys and get them to have really cool answers, maybe. And so, but yeah, they're going to answer five Pokemon-themed trivia questions for a possible total of 7 points, as one of these questions will include a bonus point. And there's a redemption point today, if you do miss out. And if they get all the questions correct and they do not use their lifeline, which is a hint, they can cash that in for an extra point for a possible total of 7. So if you guys are ready, I've got these questions lined up.
I'm ready.
Well, we might not be ready, but we'll find out.
Oh, right. I think you'll get this first one. It's
okay,
kind of
I hope so.
What is the first fairy-type Pokemon to appear in the National Dex?
Clefairy.
What about with Jigglypuff?
I don't know which one comes first.
They're like, but Jigglypuff is outside the cave, but I think you're
past
right.
Past the cave. Clefairy's in the cave, so it's earlier.
I thought
Mount Moon has Clefairy.
I think you're right.
I think Clefairy's the correct choice. I don't know. It's got fairy in the name, damn.
Clenormal type, yeah, before Gen 6.
Clenormal
type. Please let it be Clefairy.
Clefairy.
We'll say Clefairy.
Clefairy is correct. So that's one for you guys. Jigglypuff, for some reason, is later in the decks, and it is actually, like, it is before you can have the opportunity to catch Clefairy. Lydian's right in that. It is one of those weird places where the Pokedex wasn't quite lined up.
It doesn't always have to line up either.
Yeah.
People put too much.
I think the Pokedex lines up for like the first 20 and then it stops caring in Gen 1. And they just kind of just threw everybody in because you just start getting things that are just like way out there in the Pokedex that just don't count or just don't follow the order, I should say. But yes, that is 1 point for you guys. So my next question for you is, what is the only genderless Pokemon to evolve from a stone?
Ah, that's an interesting question. Can we know what the stone is?
No.
Okay, we'll work it out. We'll work it out.
So, Chandelure had gender. This is a good puzzle. So let's go over, so Stone Evolution.
I don't think it's Moonstone.
No, I can't think of anything with a moon.
Those all seem like gendered Pokemon. I don't think it's a Sunstone either.
No, because those all, it's not, I'm thinking through Waterstone, and nothing is coming up.
Oh, I got it, it's Starmie.
Oh, right, yeah, I forget that thing doesn't
It's Starmie. Yeah,
yeah,
no,
it's Starfish.
Starmie. Is correct. That is the only genderless Pokemon to evolve from the stone. Everything else has genders. That's such an interesting tidbit there. All right, so the next question is your Pokedex entry. As per usual, I'm going to read you a Pokedex entry, and you're going to tell me who that Pokemon is.
Uh-oh.
I would give you the generation, but I think it would give away this Pokemon. I'm not going to lie.
So it's a Gen 7 Pokemon.
So you need to tell us what dex?
I am going to tell you what dex. This Pokemon's Pokemon X entry reads, their poison is strong enough to eat through the hull of a tanker, and they spit it indiscriminately at anything that enters their territory. Who's that Pokemon?
I want to say...
It's Dragalge.
It is a Nautica, yeah.
It is Dragalge.
Dragalge.
Mm-hmm.
Dragalge is correct.
We knew that instantly. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, Seth Vilo, thank you very much.
All right, so this next question has three answers, but because you don't need the redemption point, you only need to get two of them. There are three Gen 1 families that belong to the Pokedex classification, the mouse Pokemon. What are they?
Pikachu, the electric mouse.
Do you mean specifically just the mouse Pokemon, or like would electric mouse count?
Just the mouse Pokemon.
Oh, ew.
And you said they were Gen 1?
Yeah.
So, Raticate.
Even though it's a rat, but...
And I think...
That's funny.
Rattata. Yeah, I think they don't change. Rattata, Raticate.
You said families, right?
Families. So they're families.
That's
so...
one family. Oh. The Rattata family.
I misheard.
There's three of them in Gen 1?
Yeah.
Why?
Right? I mean, what makes me more upset is that there's three of them in Gen 1, so how many does that mean there are, like, in general? Like,
so mousy. I'm upset Pikachu the electric mouse doesn't count. So we have Rattata.
The Rattata line, I'm going through the game in my head.
Would the Nidorans count as
No,
rats?
They're the poison pin Pokemon.
Oh, okay, there you go. Well, there you have it.
Well, unless... No, they don't change. They're always the poison pin. Then... What are other even small Pokemon?
Huh, the only three of them are in Gen 1. Huh.
Huh.
Never Ratty. Again. We never had any more mice.
Rats.
Let's
Is it mouse or rat? I'm thinking
it's
rat.
Mouse.
It's mouse.
Specifically mouse. Did they horribly misidentify what a Sandshrew is?
Oh, what if we counted Alolan Rattata and Rattata?
I feel like
that doesn't count.
That is wrong.
That doesn't count.
You know, Sandshrew is
I think Sandshrew is
it's a pangolin, but I'll
let's
say
go with
Sandshrew.
Sandshrew is one. I like that.
So Sandshrew and Rattata?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with those two.
Okay. So those are the answers. Those are your answers.
Oh, okay.
Rattata and Sandshrew are both correct.
What is the third one?
It's Pikachu.
I said Pikachu, Thad.
Yeah, I didn't tell you any of them were right. I didn't tell you any of them were wrong.
I said Pikachu, and you're like, no, that's
not
the thing.
No, I didn't say that. I did not say that.
Yeah, no, I understood you as saying Electric Mouse didn't count.
I said Electric Mouse did not count. He is the mouse Pokemon.
Oh.
He is classified as the mouse Pokemon. So I was correct.
Okay.
Yes, I was correct. Thatch did not pull the wool over your eyes.
All right, well, fun fact, Sandshrew is a pangolin.
Yeah, and he's classified as the mouse Pokemon.
So that's just wrong.
Yeah. All right, speaking
of... Oh my gosh, all of the mouses have Alolan forms. What's up with that?
So you guys can go for a perfect score here and go for 7. If you get this base stat question, it's not a lowest, actually. It's the highest because this also came from our Discord server this week because I didn't have to look it up. And speaking of electric types, what electric type Pokemon has the highest base HP stat?
I was thinking you were going to say HP, too. I was like, he's going to say HP.
HP's always the hard one.
Did you have this one memorized, or am I going to have to start to...
HP is a tricky one. I mean, like, listen, after I won trivia, like, the whole thing, I'm like, I don't need this anymore. I don't need this information. I have my title.
Is anything chunkier than Lantern?
I'm going to say probably not. What is
Lantern's
HP?
Lantern's like, I don't know what it is, I just know it's over 100, and I can't think of any others.
Yeah, because when I think of all the legendaries, they do not have giant HP stats.
They usually have not giant
HP stats, because they have giant attack stats.
And relatively good defense stats, which kind of accommodate.
I mean, they have fine defense stats.
Well, for their BST,
they're fine. I think Lantern's a good choice, because I can't think of anything more than that.
I mean, Lantern's over 110. I don't remember the exact number, but I know it's
there. It's up there. So it's it has terrible defenses, but it's tank. It's big, fat boy.
It's the only way that it can tank anything. I'm going to say Lantern.
Correct.
Final answer.
Yeah,
Lantern is correct. It is base 125. The next one up after that, actually, that's electric type. Fun fact is Stunfisk.
Really?
With base 109. Isn't that weird?
What?
That's not even that high.
HP is such a weird stat to do.
It is the weirdest. You know what's even crazier? Vivian is in the top 5 for bugs.
For bugs. I remember that. We learned this together.
Yes. I was livid. I was livid, Thatch.
I can't believe that. Because the highest one is like 107, which is Buzzwole for bugs, which is really weird.
It
but
was,
yes, that's where we are.
All in the
That's where we are in the world.
In San Diego.
Yep. So there you go.
This was a good tag team support.
But yeah,
you guys
you guys got a good 7. I also forgot to mention this segment of the show is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for everything anime related.
And awesome.
And you're not wrong. Those guys are cool. They are my favorite people. So go send them some love. Also, these guys are competing to see whoever can get to 30 points soonest. but nobody's hit it yet, so who cares?
Spoiler alert, it's going to be me.
It might be.
Probably.
It might be. So right now in first place is Sublime with 21 points.
Oh my.
Followed up in second place.
But good job being on the board, Linian. You got it.
Hush.
In second place, we have R Sigma with 15. Tied for third, we have Seth Vilo and Whimsicott with 9. In fifth, we have Dr. Shamu with 8. In sixth, we have Linian with 7. In seventh, we have Jushiro and Basket with 5. And in ninth, we have Scrawn with 4. That is everybody. So we are going to take a short break here, guys, and I'm probably going to come back to you like tomorrow with an iTunes review or something in this slot, and then but then we're going to be right back at you with the topic. We seem to have 2 new iTunes reviews this week, so thank you first to LemLem865 and MotoxTay18. LemLem865 says, "It's a great show that helps me get through the walk to school every morning. It has a friendly community, and listening to it makes me feel right at home." Well, thank you for that. And then MotoxTay says, "I love the Puckle podcast. Everyone on here has great attitudes. The knowledge you guys have helps me learn more about Pokemon than I did before. This podcast helped me get back into Pokemon and encouraged me to get into competitive battling and to try out the TCG as well. I love waking up every Monday morning waiting to hear what you guys have to talk about on your next and insane Pokemon knowledge." About next... Oh, and your insane Pokemon knowledge. That makes sense. Well, thank you both. Yeah, if you drop us an iTunes review, we will be sure to read it on the show. So go ahead, or whatever platform you guys listen to us on. It's really appreciated. Helps more people find the show and helps us grow. So on that note, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. Catch you guys on the flip side. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today, we're going to be covering a slew of news that's come out this week. We're going to open up with just the first trailer that dropped earlier this week. That still didn't show Starter Evolutions because they decided they wanted to be edgy and different this release cycle. And then
they want people to be disappointed with their choice, I guess.
I don't know. I am a little concerned. Like, it, because even in X and Y, like, they didn't show like Greninja, Delphox, and Chestnut.
But they showed Breaksin and
Quilladin.
Yeah. That's its name.
So you can at least see the direction everything's going, right?
Yes. And you can be like, oh no, Chespin. Everyone was rooting for you. Everyone was rooting for
Chestnut,
you.
Chestnut, what happened to you?
Quilladin is a mistake, but Chestnut is great. Fight me. I will die on this hill.
I mean, it's Chestnut.
I'm okay with Chestnut. I think Quilladin was the awkward middle child there. You're not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. But so first, I want to preface this, is that this trailer also dropped on Game Freak's 30th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened this week was they just showed a bunch of new Gigantamax poems. The 5 new Gigantamax forms, by the way. We've only had 3.
Were there 5? I thought there were 4.
There were 5.
Oh, wow.
There were 5 Gigantamax forms. We had only seen 3 Gigantamax forms up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that's really sad about it is that, well, not upset, but upset a lot of people, was that they were all Generation 1 Pokemon. And I understand why, because if you understand what some of these are, I think it makes sense. So
yeah.
I think the 2 biggest ones that I want to just address first are Gigantamax Pikachu, which is just Chubby Pikachu.
It's OG Pikachu.
It is OG Chubby Pikachu, which is kind of cool. I'm not mad.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I like the super wiggly tail.
I mean, of course, Pikachu's going to get a signature thing for the new mechanic. It happened last time. It's going to happen this time.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. And then Gigantamax Eevee as well. And
that I'm less okay with.
It looks dumb. It looks stupid.
So I don't know if you guys have seen the promo art for the new EVGX that's coming out, but it's like the derpiest Eevee that's ever been seen.
Until now.
And this kind of reminded me that.
It's
kind of
like,
reminded me this.
What would happen if Eevee got inbred with Slowpoke?
Oh, God. But yeah, that's it's an odd choice. Its G-Max move also doesn't do anything that great, so...
I feel like Eevee was only chosen because they are doing a tie-in with Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee.
That's exactly. The way you obtain these Pokemon is you have save data for either Let's Go Pikachu or Let's Go Eevee on your Switch. Kind of like how you get trophies in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Or not trophies anymore, it's their spirits.
This made Pikachu the right choice retroactively.
Actually, because, yeah, Pikachu's Gigantamax move is actually way better than Eevee's Gigantamax or G-Max move. In that it gets G-Max Volt Crash, and G-Max Volt Crash not only deals damage, but also paralyzes all opponents, including ground types, it should be noted.
It should be, it also should be noted, it doesn't look like you can hit ground types, but if your partner is a ground type, it
exactly.
can still be paralyzed.
Yeah. Yes. Then Eevee's G-Max move is G-Max Cuddle, which is really disappointing. G-Max Cuddle doesn't only deal damage when it hits, it also causes Pokemon of the opposite gender to become infatuated with Eevee.
Garbage.
Which
Garbage.
Is just like, meh.
Garbage.
Bad, bad mechanic. At Meh. Least that means no one's gonna be using Eevee, which looks like someone took the floof slider and just jacked it up to 11 and called that a design.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's bad.
I'm a little disappointed by that.
I think Eevee's the runt in the litter, though. The rest are all pretty good designs.
Yes.
So, like, we got it. We got Charizard number 4.
Charizard 4. Oh, my gosh.
So, like, you say it like that. You say Charizard number 4, and you get, like, ugh. And yeah, understandably so, but like I do have to say, like, this is probably the best Charizard.
Cool.
Yeah, this is probably.
I don't think it does. I'll be honest.
This is probably the best Charizard.
It's got wings of fire.
Oh, and lots of things do. So
it looks cool.
So, like, I like to hate on Charizard as much as the next person, and the thing that disappoints me about this most, again, is kind of like how Blastoise and Venusaur got shafted in X and Y without having two mm-hmm. forms like Charizard did, is that we haven't seen a Blastoise and a Venusaur. We haven't even confirmed them to be in this game.
I don't think they exist.
Well, you know, they didn't want to waste their Charizard Z art that they were saving, so they just put it in this.
I wouldn't be surprised if this was, like, a prototype design for Charizard Z. Like, I want to be completely honest. But yeah, it does have like these flaming wings. It does have
like
a G-Max. Its G-Max move is G-Max Wildfire, which isn't actually that good. It's a fire type attack.
I mean, listen, this is going to be a fire flying type.
Yes.
Without increased speed. So, like, does it even matter?
That makes me happy because it means it's going to be like worst Charizard Y. Like, that's what
Charizard
this is.
Charizard has been relegated back to obscurity. Just like everything else that lost its Mega.
It can't even set Sun.
No, it can't. So it turns out that this is one of those scenarios where it's much like so first let me read the G-Max move. The G-Max move is G-Max Wildfire. Fire type attacks used by Gigantamax Charizard will change to G-Max Wildfire, so all fire type attacks, mind you. G-Max Wildfire doesn't just deal damage to an opponent when it hits, it also continues to deal damage for 4 turns to any Pokemon that isn't fire type. So it's like buffed fire.
So it's like fire spin.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing to note here, though, is that when regular Charizard just goes Dynamax, not Gigantamax Charizard, Dynamax Charizard. If you have a Dynamax Charizard, what happens is his moves turn into just like the generic, you know, I forget what they call the Dynamax moves, but it turns into generic fire type.
Flare.
Yeah, it turns into Max Flare, which does set Sun.
Yep.
But then why are you using Charizard for that?
Well, exactly.
When
but
there's all the other fire types.
But if you're going to use Charizard, this is the better way to run Charizard, is just to have Charizard set its own Sun.
So you use Charizard by not doing its signature thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like Mega Garchomp.
Yeah.
It's like Mega Garchomp. You don't use Mega Garchomp, you use regular Garchomp.
You shouldn't, yeah.
G-Max Charizard can't even set its own solar power, which might have made it dangerous, but if it had gotten like... If it got a flying G-Max move, it might have been okay, but this was just, it's just a travesty. But it looks really cool.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, maybe if they did something else with it, it could have been good, but... No.
So, we also in this found out the Pokemon gift that you get for just buying it at release, which is Gigantamax Meowth.
I love it.
An exclusive Gigantamax Meowth, which is, it just turns into a long cat. That's what it turns into. His coin gets a little symbol on it, and it gets a G-Max move it's pretty much, well, I think every Pokemon that we've gotten in these releases either has some kind of form of false swipe or some kind of money-making move like Happy Hour or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And you got that one. You got the Happy Hour.
Yeah, you got Happy Hour on this one. G-Max move is G-Max Gold Rush, which deals damage to opponents, but it also gives you money.
And confuses.
Like all of us were. When we saw it.
Yep.
And so that is, I mean, to be fair, this wasn't the leak as well.
Okay, so when you Dynamax or Gigantamax, isn't HP the only stat that gets increased?
So we don't know about Gigantamaxing, but for Dynamaxing, it appears that it's just HP. We can't say for sure, honestly, until we get the games handed to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's been so much like stuff withheld, which is good and bad in this scenario.
And the other thing that we don't know a whole lot is we know that these Pikachu, Eevee, and Meowth cannot evolve. Like, that's locked in. So they appear to be special forms that might have boosted stats, but we don't know how much or if that's even true.
Yeah.
But we know that they are locked out of evolution. Like, you cannot evolve these things.
Yeah, so who's going to use this, like, a Meowth with its Meowth stats?
No one, but that's the point.
It's probably meant just for in-game play.
And that's just like, so hey, let's advertise these things that no one is ever going to use.
Well, it's promo material that if I buy the game in February, I'm not locked out of competitive because I didn't get the top tier meta pick Gigantamax Meowth.
I don't think that's good promo material. I don't think that's good promo material at all.
I don't think there's anything wrong with this Meowth per se. I think it's just a, they do this every gen. We've definitely had better ones. We've also had some meh ones. I think the biggest one that I could really say that was meh was probably the last one, which was Munchlax with the Snorlax Z. At least you got to do pulverizing pancake.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, like, Snorlax is Snorlax, you know, like, it's a good-ish Pokemon.
You're not wrong.
And here's the thing, Eevee, which has Eevees for stats, right? Has Eevee stats.
We don't know this. We don't know this. See,
its Z-move got used. Its Z-move got used competitively, right?
So we don't know that because these are special forms, like Linnean said. Yeah. It could be like starter Pikachu and starter Eevee stats from
and
Let's
that
Go.
That makes starter Pikachu kind of scary.
I don't even know if that would make it enough.
They don't give up a held item to use Dynamax, so then you get Dynamax Light Ball Pikachu running around.
Why do we know that Light Ball will be in the game? I think that's presumptuous.
No, we don't, but Seth has been theory crafting this in my DMs for like 3 days, despite me telling him all of the maybe nots, so I feel like I need to say it just to make him happy, so...
We're gonna play a game without all the Pokemon, and he's assuming the Light Ball's in the game, okay...
Well, I think it's also bold to say that Dynamax doesn't take an item at this point.
I feel like they would say it by now.
I don't know.
I feel like they would have said the starter evolutions by now too, so
it would just be a weird thing to conceal.
So it would be the starter evolutions, okay.
A lot of the things they're concealing have also been weird. But the biggest surprise and probably the happiest thing that I saw in this trailer,
I think the star of the reveals.
Honestly, I'm super happy about this. We got Gigantamax Butterfree, or as I like to call it, the scrapped Mega Butterfree. And
Mega Beedrill had to die so that we could get Gigantamax Butterfree.
And you know what? I don't know that that wasn't an even trade. Like, I'm kind of...
Apparently we can't celebrate both at the same time is the lesson to learn here.
Well, we could celebrate Charizard with it. It's fine.
We always have to celebrate Charizard.
And so it gets a G-Max move in G-Max Befuddle, which are any of its Bug-type moves, which honestly it doesn't learn any very early.
No.
Bug Buzz?
Yeah, G-Max Befuddle doesn't only deal damage. I like that that's the tagline that they use for every single one of these G-Max moves that we've gotten, by the way.
It doesn't only deal damage.
It doesn't only deal damage.
Oh, okay.
It will also scatter scales around opponents and cause them to become poisoned, become paralyzed, or fall asleep. So it's like rando,
it's tri attack.
It's effect spore.
Attack would freeze, and that would be nice.
Freeze is, I'm not a fan of freeze. If they got rid of freeze in the game, I'd be okay with it.
Well, yeah, but that it would be objectively better than these options.
Yes, I do agree with that. But the design is really cool. I'm a big fan of Gigantamax.
Yes.
I like it. It's just not... The problem is more HP does not fix Butterfree's problems, but...
I mean, it has Quiver Dance, so there's a chance.
Again, we don't know if Gigantamaxing doesn't affect other stats as well. Don't know.
We just know that its type hasn't changed, and that's not doing
anything. Listen, Volcarona is a star, okay? So it can be done.
Yeah, it's definitely doable. Okay, but moving on, I mean, that's everything. I think that the only thing I want to mention is that so, like, considering these, like, I think Gigantamax Butterfree was really the coolest thing to come out of that. And
yeah, that and maybe Fat Pikachu.
The one thing that I found really odd, just from, like, a standpoint of, like, watching the internet's reaction to this and looking at the overall Pokemon community's reaction to this.
The internet was not pleased.
Yeah, they weren't happy. And, like, this was, for me, it was just, like, a really weird place to draw the line.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it was in part because everyone was like, finally, maybe we'll get the starter evolutions. And then this is what
they
we got
that
instead.
That expectation
and
for
I think
themselves.
They, well, you know what? They should, because it should be out by now. So
It's not just that, but it's like...
I think that contributed to the mood that led to the backlash.
Well, a lot of people are just like, oh, more Gen 1. And it's just like, yeah, that's what Pokemon's been doing since 2013. Like, where have we been? Like, they've really just been pandering to that. They also said... And then this is the one time I probably disagreed with Joe Merrick. That's a lie. He and I disagree, I think, on things every once in a while. But so he said, well, it was Game Freak's 30th anniversary. You think they're not going to talk about that? And my reply to that is, yeah, but if it's always an anniversary, then it never is. You know what I mean? Because you could say, oh, well, the reason all the Alolan forms were Kanto evolutions was because it was the 20th anniversary of Pokemon. And so they wanted to celebrate those Pokemon. And now it's the 30th anniversary of Game Freak. So now we're going to celebrate more Gen 1 Pokemon. It's just like, okay, well, you got to kind of slow down there. And I understand the frustration. I just thought it was a weird place because a lot of people are just like, more Gen 1, I'm done with these games. And it's just like, that's where the line was for you, huh?
It feels they have no control over their marketing at this point. And I don't know
why. I absolutely agree.
as much as people complain about Sun and Moon showing everything, which I think is a valid complaint, even though they revealed, like, what, 30 Pokemon from Gen 1, I never felt like, oh, just more pandering problems. But here, we see that happening again and again. They have literally zero control over any of the messaging here, and their pacing has been bad.
Terrible. God-awful pacing.
I liked the idea of the reveal that they had for Galarian Ponyta, but that was mishandled.
Awful. Awful.
I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that was badly handled. You look
super
at
awful handling.
The trailers that they put out have been like 20 seconds long, other than this one, for the past month leading up to release. We've barely got any new Pokemon, even though the previews dropped this week. We know that in the town, the starting town, just north of that, there are 7 new unrevealed Pokemon. That's a lot of content that's early on, but isn't even mentioned.
So they talked about that in a lot of the previews that came out this week. That's what you're referring to with the 7 new Pokemon thing. But I think it's important to note that the people who played the game for these reviews also went all the way to the wild area for that 7.
Yeah, but that's still within the first 2 hours by Pokemon's official metric, because it talks about that when it's like, where do you pick up these Pokemon?
So
you can get there within 2 hours of play, and we...
So I'm still very confused by it, because these guys got 90 minutes of playtime, and Pokemon did state that it officially takes 2 hours to get to the wild area.
I think they just mean for kids, and yeah, I don't know if that's
a conservative estimate, or if they just they quote unquote warped players to there.
I think that's just hedging.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right, but part of me goes, did they warp people ahead a little bit? I doubt it. I think they got to the wild area in their 90 minutes. But
the point that I'm trying to make is that Gen 6 and Gen 7. Felt like they were marketing campaigns for the games that came out. I felt like I was getting a good representative information.
Completely.
I don't feel like that for for Sword and Shield. I want to be excited. I am someone who genuinely wants to be excited for these games, but they've mishandled the marketing so badly.
The entire
it's
way.
Hard
like
to
it's
get
just
hyped.
Been one misstep after another in terms of marketing.
I think they could have definitely saved themselves from like the National Dex fiasco. I'm gonna say fiasco because it was a big deal, and it still kind of is to a lot of people, and I would be lying if it didn't affect me to some extent, but at the same time, I'm still gonna buy these games. I want to give them an honest chance.
I'm right there,
because we don't know anything about them. We don't know anything about them, honestly, and I've heard good and bad things from the reviews that came out this week. I've heard that there's no super hand-holdy tutorial, which is great.
That is good.
And a lot of people have been praising it as like a fresh take on Pokemon. I am skeptical about a few other things, but I'd like to see the scope and the scale of these games myself. And like you said, I don't think the marketing represents that. I don't think it shows you like, hey, this is what this game is. This is what it's going to represent. And I hope maybe in the next month they can do it, because we're in the point where like they could start just pounding stuff out for like once a week and just be like, hey, here's a little bit more. Hey, here's a little bit more. Hey, here's a little bit more. And it probably won't happen. Maybe it'll happen. I don't know. I honestly don't know what their marketing strategy is.
They've got 26 days for this company to pull this around, and I am not hopeful. And they've hired a new marketing team, and they have failed. They have failed dramatically.
I think that's the biggest thing. Like, if they would have had better marketing closer to Sun and Moon, I think it would have softened the blow to the National Dex thing. Like, if we could have gotten, like, I would feel better personally if, one, we got, if, like, every single trailer they dropped, every single trailer, there were, like, four Pokemon that we hadn't seen before that are in the game, right? Every single trailer.
Four returning Pokemon, you mean?
Four returning Pokemon. And then maybe you drop, like, one or two new ones in. Like, that would make my day, because I think that that's part of the new release cycle that we're going to have to deal with, at least in the interim, of seeing what they do with the next iterations of this game. Because let's be honest, there's going to be Pokemon Ultra Sword and Ultra Shield, or whatever the heck they're going to call them. And
Pokemon Sharp Sword and Hard Shield.
Yeah, we're going to get something like that, though, where, like, they take that iteration.
That has the same letters as Heart Gold, Soul Silver, so let's not call them that.
But I could definitely see them, like, you know, maybe we get, you know, the full National Dex and something like that. I'm not going to hold my breath for that.
If they do that, there's no winning if they do that.
I don't think there's no winning.
I don't know. If they, like, release a game in the same region that does have it.
No. I wouldn't be upset with this. And I can explain. Most games have expanded dexes anyway when we get, like, their upgraded version, right? And if you look at Sun and Moon themselves, like, we had 800 Pokemon in the National Dex, and I think something like just under 600 were catchable in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon.
It wasn't that high. It is.
I would believe it. I would believe it.
It's just under 600. If you look at there are charts for this.
Okay. Fair.
Because you have to consider all the legendaries you could catch and stuff like that in the post game.
I forget the ultra. See, I forget the non dex Pokemon from the ultra wormholes, and that adds up to a lot.
So like you had a regional dex of like 400, which is kind of small in my opinion, which I think they're going to remedy, and they're not going to do that again. Mostly because
what was the regional dex in Kalos?
450. It was the largest regional dex.
Yeah, it was impressive.
It was the largest regional dex, and I think Sword and Shield are gonna dwarf that.
They need to.
I personally, they said so much in the treehouse. They did. If you listen to Shigeru Mori, he said this is a giant Pokedex. You will not be disappointed by it.
Prepare to be disappointed.
So I have faith that they.
I'm expecting a big Pokedex, though. Yes.
I'm expecting a pretty big Pokedex from Sword and Shield. Especially, I assume, because we've only got, like, what, I think it's, like, 20 Pokemon revealed or something like that. I fully expect us to get, like, 100 new mons. Like, that's
Do you expect to get any Galarian forms other than Zigzagoon?
Yes.
That are not Gen 1?
I expect it. I think, again, like Linian said, it's a complete marketing disaster. Because I think they had the opportunity to show us another one, and they just haven't yet. Because they've been on this Gen 1 kick for the past month, for whatever reason. Because with Sirfetch'd and the Galarian Ponyta, and with just these Gigantamax forms we got, they've just been on this Gen 1 kick, and I think it's just like an unfortunate pacing that they set for themselves.
I think their marketing team doesn't know what they're doing. I think their marketing team
was like trying to do a lot of different stuff, and it just hasn't landed at all.
And I don't think they looked at this their scope like, the last five things that we revealed were all Gen 1. Yep. I don't think that occurred to them.
Yeah. I think that had to have.
I really don't. I think that they just assumed all content is
I do, because they want to cash in on nostalgia.
Well, no, that's why it's in the game to begin with, but I really But I don't think it was meant to be released all in a block. That's not how anyone would do that.
I think that was intentional, which makes it less impressive.
I don't know. I think the biggest missed opportunity was the Galarian Ponyta reveal. Not that Galarian Ponyta is not cool. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of it. I think the problem is they had that 24-hour live stream, and that's
how they handled it.
That's the only thing that came out of it, right? Like, you couldn't have had like something else come in.
Other than the National Dex scandal, there's nothing that's been revealed for Sword and Shield that I don't like. There's nothing about this game other than Impidimp, but that hasn't been officially revealed, that I don't like. There's nothing there that I don't have some appreciation for, but I'm exasperated at how they're doing it. It's frustrating. Yeah. It's maddening.
Yep. Yeah, we haven't gotten like a new game feature revealed in a while either.
Are you kidding? Curry, we got Curry.
No, that was the last game feature we got, and that was a month and a half ago.
But we have things like, does everyone remember Poke Jobs? wow, that'd be nice to know what they actually do.
Right? I feel like that's such an insignificant thing, though. I but wouldn't want that to be advertised. But it's still
something that we didn't even get in the English trailer. We really got like, oh, it's there. Most of the information came from translations from the Japanese one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that would be good for promoting like, the game either,
their ability to control the message has just been awful.
Yeah, it's just been really bad. And I don't want to keep going around in circles on this one. But
I feel like I'm playing Fallout 76, and that's just, I think, the worst thing that you can say about a marketing team.
I don't know. I don't blame TPCI for this. I blame their marketing.
No, I blame who...
Well, who hired them?
The company.
Who did the hiring?
I'm sure someone made that decision, but I also am confident they're locked in a contract at this point.
Yes.
Because I don't think anyone... I start looking at how much it takes to cut... It costs to cut them at this point. That would be what I would suggest.
I don't blame them entirely. I blame it on this new marketing that I assume they won't be around for the next cycle.
Oh no. I don't think they'll be on for the next half of this cycle.
Yeah. And so we'll see how it goes. Because like I mean it's been a mess all around. But what we have seen, like Linnea said, I think other than the National Dex thing, like exactly like you said, I am happy with it. I really do appreciate that we have a lot of cool features. I'm still super excited for raids. Raids are like the number one thing I'm excited about because
they seem really fun.
I think you and I talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it on air or not, but like this is exactly what Pokemon needed. They needed a cooperative like multiplayer experience, and this is something that has just been lacking for the past 20 some years. And this is the perfect solution.
You didn't like making berries with your friends, then?
No, I did not. If I wanted to start a garden with you guys, I would do. We'd start an actual garden, okay?
The only thing you could do is fight or trade, and this is something else that you can do together, and that's wonderful. Why can't that be the message?
I think that honestly, even with the National Dex thing, I think that's what makes the Pokemon games worth it to me. Like I said in the past, my dream, and it's not going to come true, but my dream is that Pokemon Home. Which we still don't know anything about because the marketing's been horrible for that, too,
mm-hmm.
is that Pokemon Home, which has been announced to have trading features, also has some kind of like battling features incorporated in it as well. We know that Global Link is essentially getting condensed into Pokemon Home as well.
Mm-hmm.
We know two things. There's trading and it's now Global Link, which is very confusing. But if you could also have some kind of battling capabilities in Pokemon Home, I think that would fix everything for me because then we could have these awesome adventures on cartridge where like it's full scale. You don't have to have all of the art in there. You don't need to make models for every Pokemon. You can just port all the 3DS models to the smartphone like they already have in Pokemon Go. And you can have them on Pokemon Home and just send those out and I can battle on my smartphone and I can collect all of the Pokemon and have adventures in the game. I think that's the way I would like to see it handled. I don't think that's the way it's going to be handled.
Yeah,
but that would be the dream scenario for me, because honestly, I'd be super down to be able to just have Pokemon Home and battle on my phone, because like just from a Puckles perspective, like if we're having tournaments and I'm gone somewhere, I can just have my phone and all I need is to have a wireless signal and I can connect to people and I can battle and trade with them. So that's the biggest thing for me. But on that note, I think this is a good place to stop.
Yeah.
And we will kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode after this short break. We will catch you on the flip-flop. Well, school's coming up, kids. If you want some cool new swag for, I don't know, back-to-school season, you can go over to the Puckle Tee Public Store and you can go and grab any kind of designs, whether it just be the Puckle logo so you can represent me and the company that all these people are working for, or maybe you just want something cool like a Pokemon like Dragonite Kanji shirt. It's fantastic. We got everything over there. If not, maybe you want to throw a pillow to throw in your apartment if you're going to college. Just some cool artwork to put on your wall. You can just go grab some of the Puckle staff pictures that Basket put up. They're great. I suggest it. Everything you can buy there helps us out in any single way that you can possibly do it. It's a great way to support the show and get something in return. So please go do it. And I will catch you guys on the flip-flop. And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 3042, Crawdaunt, the rogue Pokemon.
Its Ultra Moon Pokedex entry reads, its pincers often fall off. Unlike with Crabrawler or Clauncher, the meat in its claws is utterly nasty and stinking.
That is
a dark type.
That's a fun fact right there.
Don't eat them, I guess.
So, first of all, I did not know that this Pokemon was in the Ultra Moon, Ultra Sun Pokedex. So that's the first fun fact for me. Second of all, so Crawdaunt. So Crawdaunt is not a bad Pokemon, mostly because of it gets adaptability.
It gets adaptability,
and that's it. That's the answer.
With a like really high attack stat.
Adaptability, high attack stat. The attack stat, for those of you at home who do not have Bulbapedia in front of you, it's base 120. Everything else is pretty much garbage, though. Base 63 HP, base 85 defense, base 90 special attack because reasons.
Because it was Gen 3.
Keep in mind, it was made before the physical special split.
That's true. Base 55 special defense, base 55 speed. But it does get Aqua Jet as well on top of this.
Yeah. The Aqua Jet is what makes it work.
and it gets decent coverage. So yeah. We're running a Choice Band Crawdaunt today on this team. It's got adaptability, obviously, because you need that one. You need like extra stab on your stab. I heard you like stab on your stab, so I gave stab on your stab.
I stabbed you in the stab.
And so 252 attack, 252 speed, adamant, knock off Aqua Jet, Crab Hammer, superpower. Boom. You're just gonna do all the damage.
Hit hard.
And to help break sashes and everything, you need something a little bit different, kind of like an Azelf. So Azelf, this is just the typical UU lead. It's Taunt, Stealth Rock, Explosion, and Knockoff, Jolly Nature, 252 attack, 4 defense, 252 speed. So that is where we are at with that. So, I mean, these are typical mods. I don't know what to tell you other than that's what they are.
Yeah, and since we're in UU... Yeah, since we're in UU, you know what's a really fun thing to use in UU? Is Mega Beedrill.
Yeah.
Because I heard you like adaptability because you like stab on your stab. Is that correct? Exactly.
I like stab on my stab.
So then you got to have that Mega Beedrill to complement your Crawdaunt for stab on stab on stab. Okay. So we got the Mega Beedrill
also
with the Beedrill light.
Also that giant speed stat.
Yeah. We're rocking the Jolly Nature to celebrate that with 252 attack and speed. And we're just going to dump the extra in defense. Why not? We got the poison jab for the stab on stab on jab, and then the U-turn for the jab on stab on stab. Drill run for coverage and knockoff because this team loves knockoff. This is the third knockoff in a row.
Well, have you? Okay, so if so
knockoff like, is a great move, why would you not?
It's like Little Cup and every tier that's not, and honestly, any tier that's not OU, knockoff is so prevalent and important. It just prevents so many things from happening. So I'm a huge proponent of knockoff spam literally everywhere. I mean, it's also arguably one of the best moves in the game, since items are so important. I believe 10 Little Men a few weeks ago put in his mailbag that he'd be okay with a knockoff nerf, and he's not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can always go back to Gen 5 when it was like 20 base power.
I think that's what it should be, honestly, because right now it's just way too prevalent and way too good.
It is very good. Although, I'm very curious, you know, part of what was like a itsy-bitsy nerf was the fact that there have been a lot of items that can't be removed.
Yeah, but those are going to be gone.
And we're losing
now.
Those?
Yeah, we're
exactly.
Losing those.
So yeah. It's getting better, not worse.
Yeah, exactly. Unless they nerf it.
All right, but you know what? Speaking of U-turn, we've got Magneton with Volt Switch because we love, you know what I love is Momentum. Okay, I'm gonna be your momentum.
Honestly, that's not even why you use it. It's just because.
No, but I needed a segue. I needed a segue, Thatch. We're doing segues, okay? So that was the segue. Magneton is actually, yeah. I mean, do you not want a segue? You set up my segue. I got to set up the next segue, okay?
Okay.
All right. We got the Choice Specs Magneton with Timid Nature because we want it to go fast. Than Scizor.
Actually, Magneton's pretty fast. It's like
70 base speed. It's 70. I wouldn't call that pretty fast, but it's faster than Magnezone.
It's faster than Magnezone, and it's faster than Scizor, which is all that matters.
Yes, correct. So we're rocking that Hidden Power Fire because that's why we have it. Flash Cannon, Thunderbolt, and after you've trapped that Scizor, and you need to get out of there. If it comes in again, you got that Volt Switch, okay? Mm-hmm. So you got the Hidden Power Fire for the Scizor, you got the Choice Specs, so we make sure we fry it, okay? I like my bugs extra crispy. They're good for that protein. And we're rocking the 252-252 special attack and speed. Timid nature for defense.
Also, trapping just feels really good. It's been a thing for a little while, like with Magnezone and Magneton against Celesteela, and I know people like can get that feeling. But I feel like the biggest rush for me in terms of trapping has always been Diglett and Little Cup. And their attempt to ban
that
it.
That thing is very strong.
Pick. Oh my gosh, it's so good because it's the fastest mon in Little Cup. And it has a
re-trap. It's got a pretty high attack stat too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got a decent attack stat
like
too.
A decently high attack stat.
And it gets Earthquake still. Like it's doing okay. It's doing okay.
But speaking of momentum.
Yeah, speaking of momentum. we've got Tornadus here in his, it's incarnate form is what these are called.
Yes, the Therian. The Therian's the one we care about.
Yeah, so this is the one that we usually don't. But I've used this in draft. It's fun. Running with that Prankster for defense, 252 special attack, 252 speed on a Timid. We're running Hurricane for damage. I mean, you're going to use it. It's fine. It'll pick up damage. U-turn to bounce, defog for that all-important defog clearing, and also Tailwind. Prankster Tailwind is really useful. It's fun, holding the sky plate so that Hurricane hurts more. Lastly, we want just a little bit of setup here. Don't want to go overboard. So we've got Mimikyu holding a Life Orb. Abilities disguise, because, you know, it's a
Mimikyu.
4 HP, 252 attack, 252 speed, Jolly. It's a Mimikyu.
Mm-hmm.
Running Play Rough, Swords Dance, Shadow Claw, and Shadow Sneak because, well, it's a Mimikyu.
It's a Mimikyu.
Yeah, that's a Mimikyu, all right.
It is a bog standard setup Mimikyu set, and you know what? That's fine. It's good.
It's good.
It can just completely crush
it. It does its job, and it does it well. What you gonna
yeah.
say?
Yeah,
it's good.
It's really good. I like Mimikyu. I'm not Dennis, but I like Mimikyu.
This is actually a pretty decent UU team, though. If you're into hyper offense, the only thing I'm a little skeptical of is the Tornadus. I think Tornadus might be able to. I feel like you could swap it out, just because I don't think Tailwind really benefits this team too much.
It probably really helps the Crawdont.
It probably helps the Crawdont. That's about it.
And we built the team around the Crawdont, so
that's true. But could we like? I feel like there's a way we could force a Sticky Webs user in there or something.
Galvantula is UU, right?
Galvantula is UU.
That's not really hyper offense, though. So
yeah, but my only thing is you could throw something in like that. Granted, Tornadus does give you your defog as well, but that's the only thing that I'm a little skeptical of. But I'll try running this team this... Well, no, I'm not doing that. I'm just doing Nuzlocke right now because Nuzlocke make my life feel easier.
Yes, Sublime. Get it, Sublime.
Yeah, that it's not dead yet. We can talk to you about that later. But yeah... Despite us trying, by the way. So that is it for the Pokemon of the episode. If you want a shiny Crawdont, you can head over to patreon.com/PokePodcast, sign up for the $5 tier or higher, and you can get the shiny Pokemon distributions. I'm actually running one right now for I'm trying to catch up because I fell a little behind. And we're distributing Miltank right now. It won't be up by the time this show is up, it'll be something different. But if you want to get in on these shiny giveaways, this is the best way to do it. So yeah, with further ado though, let's take a short break, or not even a short break. Let's just flip the switch and go on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails!
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is always brought to you by Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
And we'll give the Green Tauros badge to anybody we think is, if you have a good email.
If we feel like it, yeah.
Welcome to the mailbag segment. This is part of the show where we read listener emails on the show. You can send them into pucklepodcast@gmail.com. We typically have a question to ask you guys. And our question for you is, what do you think of Galarian Ponyta? And I guess it's more than that. I don't know how people wrote four paragraphs about it, but I'm very interested to see.
People feel very strongly about My Little Ponyta.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see these apparently very strong opinions. This week, we'll have another mailbag question for you. And honestly, I think it's going to be more along the lines of, are you tired of Gen 1? Or are you okay with Charizard number 4?
How do you feel about the marketing?
Honestly, I think Charizard number 4 is still the coolest Charizard.
Yeah.
I feel like Charizard X is probably cooler.
I think Charizard X was overhyped, but we can talk about that another day.
Another day.
Good morning, Puckle Crew. This is where this one's from. He didn't actually give us a name. I'm just going to call him Chad.
Hi, Chad.
I hope you are all doing fantastic this week. This is my first time writing in. I haven't been following the show for too long, but I got to say that I'm hooked. My wife loves podcasts. I've been trying to get me into them for the longest time, but I hated all of the ones I came across until I came across you guys. Now I can honestly say it's one of the highlights of my week. I honestly don't have many people in my circle of friends who are into Pokemon, so I love hearing about all the news you guys cover and discussions on the new games, the teams you build for the Pokemon the episode, and testing my own innate Pokemon knowledge in the Puckle Poke Quiz each week. Keep up the awesome work.
Oh, why thank you.
That's a nice paragraph.
That was heartwarming. I feel better about myself.
I feel pretty good.
Thank you.
Thank you for the compliments. It boosts the self-confidence. We'll keep doing the show another week.
Yeah.
We'll keep the lights on.
And leave an iTunes review.
We might read it.
Just copy and paste that. It's fine.
I honestly read every single iTunes review. I do. Anyways, onto the mailbag topic. I am so stoked for Glorian Ponyta. So much that it's convinced me to get Shield when it comes out so I can add one of these little cuties to my party in my first playthrough. I love the design, and I think that the Psychic type is interesting. Plus, of all the types I usually play with, Psychic is one of the types I've had the least on my team. Honestly, up until Sun and Moon, I always had to have like one of those flying types on the team. You know what I mean?
The starter flyer, usually.
You always had to have a flying type because you needed to fly, but now you don't need HMs, you don't need it. It's so freeing because it's like, oh, cool, I freed up a party slot.
It's very liberating.
I don't need a water type with two moves I can't use.
Exactly.
Although you should probably have one anyway because it's water, you know, it's good. It's always going
to
be good.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
You don't have to, but you ought to.
Psychic is one of the types I've had the least on my team, so I'm excited for a Psychic type I may actually like. I'm hoping that Galarian Rapidash is majestic AF when they do reveal it. As many have already speculated, it will definitely gain wings to become a Pegasus/Alicorn type mon, which I think would be wicked cool. So I wasn't on this episode, but I have a personal theory that we're going to get like a Galarian evolution to Rapidash, and that's going to be your Pegasus.
That would have a monstrous BST. Because Rapidash just has a poorly distributed, like, 500.
You could also Gen 4 it where you drop a stat to make up for it, so it's not that crazy.
We just need a Caesar effect where it doesn't change the BST, it just fixes the distribution.
Yeah, exactly.
But better, yeah.
I feel like they would add the flying type, but I'm hoping they give it fairy typing, as it's just begging to be a fairy. Then for abilities, they could give it something like Misty Surge or Psychic Surge. Oh, please, no.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine if it had Psychic Surge? Can you imagine?
No.
Could you see the usage go through the roof?
I mean, does Ponyta deserve it? Yes. Does it deserve it like that? I don't know.
Yes. Misty Surge, I'm almost okay with.
Misty Surge would probably be better. That's true.
Misty is way more balanced. Psychic Surge, I'm not okay with. He follows with, though I'm not confident they'd want to give one of the Tapu's signature abilities to a non-legendary Pokemon.
I mean, they did it with Kyogre and Groudon, so why not?
And Groudon, yeah, Torkoal says hello.
They've done this before, so it's not off the table. Or alternatively, something like Fairy Psychic equivalent of a Alolan Raichu Surge Surfer, which doubles its speed in Misty/Psychic terrain. I could see it getting something like Super Luck or Magic Bounce to capitalize on the whole Unicorn/Magic theme, but I could also see Game Freak being super basic and just slapping Levitate on it and calling it good enough.
Well, I mean, they already gave it a signature ability, so it's gonna have that.
But it also has a second one, doesn't it?
I think it's just like a normal ability, though.
Yeah, exactly. That could be the one that would change, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As for the new release system, I have mixed feelings overall. Overall, I'm a fan of what they've revealed so far, but I'm hungry for more info. Though unlike Whimsicott, I'm a sucker for spoilers and am the type of guy who will Wikipedia the plot summary of all the new movies before I see them just because I can't handle not knowing what happens as soon as possible. However, I do see the benefit of withholding info for you to discover your own during the game. There's going to be plenty of that for you to do. My parents didn't really care much for video games when I was growing up, so I hadn't actually played Pokemon until I had grown up and moved out. My first experience was Ruby on an emulator on my phone, and then I went straight to X and Y. I also hadn't watched the anime past Gen 3. One of the most fun aspects of X and Y was coming across Pokemon that I had never seen before and finding out what they can do, even though a lot of them were from Gens 4 and 5. So while I have my frustrations with the lack of info, I'm excited to explore Galar for myself and see what's in store for us. I must say, though, that the livestream was a little brutal to actually sit through. I think I made it an hour before going nuts. I'd call it the Joan of Arc of Pokemon reveals. Good idea, badly executed. That's pretty good.
It took me too long to figure out where that was going, but boy howdy was that a lie.
Anyways, that's all I've got to say for now, but thanks for taking the time to read this, and I look forward to see what you've got in store for the show next week. Catch you on the flip-flop. Gone core fishing. All right, so thank you for that. And the next one is going to be from Archie, I guess.
Hello, Puckle Crew. I've only just started listening to this podcast, but it was love at first sight. Can I ask you something about Ponyta? What if it's not only a psychic type, but a new type, and Pokemon are just waiting for the very last moment to reveal it? Kind of like Sylveon.
That wouldn't be like Sylveon at all.
Sylveon got released very early, or the type.
So there's like so many reasons why that's not going to happen. One, they already revealed its type.
And they wouldn't say that it has a second type. It
yeah, was just, Sylveon they revealed without revealing its type, and like...
But then they revealed it
3 months later. E3. Yes.
But it was still how many months before the game
came out? Oh, it came out in like February, and then the game came out in October. They wouldn't drop Galarian Ponyta and be like, it's a new type.
Also, I feel like everyone's pretty happy with the type chart at the moment.
We don't have a dragon problem.
I love how often people ask for like new types. I don't think people realize that it's a very rare thing that happens. The only times we got new types were Dark and Steel, and that was to balance Psychic, and then we got Fairy to balance Dragon.
And we don't have a problem that needs balancing at the moment.
See, I said that before Fairy type came out.
How could you say that when Dragmag was such a thing?
No, you're not wrong. See, I also didn't know what I was talking about back then. I think it's pretty balanced right now, type-wise.
Yeah, if anything, there's some types that need to be boosted, but I don't think any type needs to be torn down, so...
I think it's fairly balanced.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, Bug... Poor Bug.
I think Steel needs to get a little bit of a buff, just because of the like oversaturation of fairies we got last gen. We just got like a super oversaturation of fairy types.
That is the buff to Steel.
Yes and no. I don't think we had enough Steel types that could counter it well.
That doesn't mean we need to buff the type. That just means we need more Steel types. And guess what? The legendaries are probably going to be so.
Exactly. Like, you can see the writing on the wall. Like, they know what they're doing.
You don't need to buff the type. Just add more of it.
And add things that are better distributed to use its offensive abilities.
Yes, I agree with that. Finish this email.
Continuing on. Also, I like the characters Alistair and B. Or is it B or Bea? How do we say it?
I don't even know. Is it B?
It's B. As in beat.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Alistair and B. Because of, well, it's 2019. So yeah.
I don't know what that means.
But, okay.
Yeah. But I would love to see a fairy type gym leader. Same, Archie, same. I am very excited for Sword and Shield, even if I don't quite have a Switch yet. So I think that's all I have to say. And if Sublime's reading this, you're my favorite. Thank you so much, Archie. Thank you so much. From Archie, the fairy god. I'm here just to read my favorites, okay? That's what I'm here for. I give the people what they want.
Sublime reads the emails beforehand, then decides if he wants to be on the show that week.
I don't. But I'd be willing to.
Sublime makes a new Gmail account, sends in an email, and then decides if he wants to be on the show that week.
If you know what, Mailbag is, if I'm your favorite, let me know. I appreciate that. Thanks.
Hey, Mailbag, if anyone else is your favorite, let them know too. We all have low self-esteem.
I mean, listen, I don't have low self-esteem. And when we do the survey every year, it perks me up, okay? That's all I'm going to say.
So if Seth Vilo is your favorite, or if you just really miss us saying hi to Ryan, let us know in the email. We don't get sick of either of those things.
Oh, yeah. Wait, one sec. Hi, Ryan. I haven't seen him in like a week. It was really sad. It's been really sad. I haven't seen Ryan in a while. Moving on, though, we have one more email from P. McGee. This is all yours, Lydian.
Yep. Hey, Puckle Crew. P. McGee here again with some more thoughts on Pokemon Sword and Shield, specifically the release cycle. As we approach the home stretch until the release of these games, I think you can start to look back and analyze how they have been marketed since their announcement in February. Boy, howdy, did we.
Wow, you spun that topic really well today. Good on you, Lydian. I'm okay with that.
Unlike the previous two generations, information has been provided at a substantially slower rate. As of this email, we still do not even know the middle evolutions of the starters. Largely, I think this will be well regarded by the fanbase. Someone hasn't been on Reddit. As it should mean that there are significant amounts of Pokemon and the region to still discover.
That is well regarded by portions. That's just how you feel about spoilers.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where whichever way they go, there's a positive for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also negatives to both, like we discussed in the topic today.
Like Whimsicott is living her best life this season.
Yeah. At the same time, like we just said, we don't know if this game's going to be good because we don't know enough about the game to be like, okay, it's going to be good. I'm sure it'll be okay. It's a Pokemon game, so it's at least going to be like an average game, if not slightly above average.
Assuming there is an overarching story, yes, we do not know it.
That is true as well.
Yeah. We know original forms are back, but outside of the Zigzagoon family, we haven't even seen a full evolutionary line. Yeah.
That's also true. That's true.
We also haven't seen a non-Gen 1 Galarian form aside from Zigzagoon.
That's also true.
Zigzagoon's such a star. It's those eyes, they have stars on them.
What gets me, though, is like Zigzagoon is also a redundancy in and of itself, because they took the rodent from a generation
and slapped dark on it.
And I'm just sitting here, I'm like, oh, is this Rattata?
I mean, that's what you do when you make forms. It's like, let's just give it dark.
Honestly, kind of. Dark type's kind of underrepresented in places.
We know Dynamaxing and Gigantamaxing exist, but we have a very limited understanding of how they function. We also have absolutely no idea what the postgame might entail. We really usually don't.
The postgame, we don't know anything, and then we're usually disappointed. That's been the story since Gen 5.
As of this week, Game Freak has only officially revealed 19 new Pokemon, sorry Impidimp, and 4 Galarian forms. With less than a month to go, this feels like a historically low amount of information on a mainline Pokemon game, and I'm entirely okay with that.
Well, good for you. I need to know the starters.
To Game Freak's credit, the unique reveal methods they have used for Sirfetch'd and Galarian Ponyta are great ways to generate excitement without having to dump tons of information. Teasing it and then drawing it out over the course of the week is a fun change-up. While these were anything but flawless, particularly the live stream, it was a good foundation to build upon.
Is it?
I think that they had good ideas that were badly handled, and I think that's what he's saying.
I agree with that.
The only thing that would drastically disappoint my opinions of their marketing strategy is if the limited information release of the result is the result of a historically low number of Pokemon. Even generations are traditionally lower in the Pokemon count, with Generation 6 being only in the 60s. I think that's the wrong trend to look at, but yeah. Even if you count Mega Evolutions, that number reaches around 100. It would be disappointing if, including Galarian forms, the number is only between 50 and 60. I don't need 150.
Yeah, I don't think we need 150. Never again, please.
I'm glad we did it once. We don't need to do it again.
That was the next line as well. I don't need 150, but I want there to be many Pokemon lines and Galarian forms that we have not seen. Using historical data for the starters, as well as the image grabs from the trailers and the data mine and the Dynamax camera.
That Dynamax Toyota.
Yeah. Dynamax Camry, when you really want a mid-sized sports sedan at least 20 times larger. The 24 officially revealed Pokemon balloons up to 43. If you include the what he's talking about, the camera app appears to list them in evolutionary line, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, so that brings it up to 43. If the total amount of new Pokemon doesn't exceed 70, we've already seen the majority of new Pokemon lines. And, like, we know there are 7 things in that area that, and this is not what he wrote, but we know that there are at least 7 things in the first part of the wild area that we haven't seen, which already increases that significantly.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if those were the only 7 missing?
Even then, like...
That would not happen, but could you imagine?
Still, since we do not yet know the final count, I am not going to be preemptively disappointed. It has always been just a slight concern, and I think it's genuinely, and I genuinely hope it's unfounded. Regardless of Dexit, this has been a well-orchestrated reveal cycle. That's up for debate.
Okay.
We have very different opinions.
We'll let our entire topic speak for that.
Yes.
That teases some exciting new Pokemon and features that fans want to see without giving a lot of information. I remain excited for these games and am hopeful that there is a lot left to uncover.
Thatch, did you want to see Curry?
Curry?
Was that a feature you wanted to see?
I understand where you're trying to go with this, and I'm not going to take the bait.
No, I'm not even trying to come for it. It's like, I don't think that they're trying to give us features we wanted to see. It's like when you didn't know you wanted something.
They do that a lot. It depends on what Curry actually does. They haven't really confirmed that one way or the other. There have been hints that it's going to be the way to, like, change natures and stuff.
Okay, that has been pure speculation. What we did see, one of the cooking results, because we saw the results screen for one of these, was it gave EXP. Some amount, it didn't list, it just said you gained some EXP. It boosted happiness, and that was what that did, but we have no way of knowing if that was, like, just a bad result, the best result, or whatever.
Also, it's not speculation that it changes that. Well, not entirely speculation, because it was in the Game Informer interview, where they said it changes the personality of the Pokemon.
That wasn't referring to Curry. They said that was in the game.
Oh, okay, that's where I messed up. I think Curry would be a good way to do it.
Yeah, it would be. But regardless of that, we know that it has a possibility. I'm excited for Curry because if you had said, do you want that in your Zelda game? Do you want cooking mechanics? I would have said no. That is my favorite part of Breath of the Wild is Chef Link.
But that's what I meant by, is that what you wanted to see? It's like, no one was wanting to see it. They might love it, but they didn't know they wanted it.
they've been doing that a lot, but I also understand that they're going to a new platform and they're trying to push it a little bit in different directions. Whether or not those are the right directions is yet to be seen. Like I've said, Linny and I said this in private, and I think we said it earlier today, was just that these games, I need to play them before I can pass judgment. I can't really say. They haven't shown us enough that I can say, hey, this is a good idea, hey, this is a bad idea.
I don't know enough about the mechanics to see how they're going to interact. So he has a couple quick questions for the hosts. How are we on time?
If we're probably not going to be able to answer that.
We can shoot them out real quick if they're short.
If they're really fast, but...
they're kind of not.
Well, I'm looking at them and I feel like they could be. How many unseen Pokemon are you hoping to discover? That's an easy question.
Yeah, that one we can do.
70. I'm hoping for like a total of new Pokemon of being 70, and then maybe a total of like 20 to 25 Galarian forms.
I want 100 new total, counting Galarian forms and new Pokemon.
That sounds reasonable.
I think I would be content around midpoint, kind of between you guys at like 80, 85. Yeah.
I've been okay with how they've been doing both X and Y and Sun and Moon. I think that it was a mistake to add as many Pokemon as they did in Gen 5, because we ended up with a lot of really lazy designs.
Yeah. Were there that many, really, though?
Yes.
Yes.
You get your monkeys and your genies. What else you got?
We can talk about this off air, but...
yeah, I don't want to go into ripping it. I have answers.
I have answers, and...
there's a lot of lazy Gen 1 designs, too, so...
oh, don't get me wrong. I don't put Gen 1 on a pedestal for that, either.
All right, but that is a good place to stop. Thank you for your emails. If you want to email us next week at PucklePodcast@gmail.com, you can do so by answering the question, how do you feel about the release cycle, and are you tired of Gen 1? I want to get a good handle on it, because, like, for one, I just expect this at this point, the Gen 1 pandering. And it's very unsurprising to me, but I know other people are still surprised by it. And some people are okay with it, which is fine. More power to you. If that's why you like Pokemon, that's why you like Pokemon. I'm not going to hate you for that. And so, yeah, send that in to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. If you want to help out the show throughout the week, you can go ahead and join our Discord server, first of all, or you can follow us on social media over at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you want to keep up with the show on Twitch, you can go over to twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, where I stream a Nuzlocke once a week. It then goes up on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/pucklepodcast, where you guys can go ahead and check out not just the podcast but also the Nuzlocks. People seem to like them and enjoy them, and I'm happy that people watch them. And then finally, if you want to help support the show monetarily, first of all, you can go to Twitch. You can drop a Twitch Prime subscription for free for you if you have Amazon Prime, but it also helps out the show. You can also go ahead and go to our TeePublic store, though we might be moving t-shirt stores. I don't know what's happening right now. And you can go to TeePublic and purchase anything that you find there that's still left. The way you can more directly support the show is by going to patreon.com/pucklepodcast and jumping into those tiers. The new next, so I'm sending out the rewards on Monday for the rest of the badges. The ones that are going to be coming up next are going to be more Puckle TCG cards. We have plenty of people left to do. I think the only ones that are out there are Thatch, Bow, and Whimsicott. So we have plenty more people that we can start slapping on cards. So with that, I believe everything is done. And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I am Trainer Thatch.
I remain Sublime.
And I'm Linian.
And it's closing time.
We here at Puckle would like to thank our patrons who help make everything we do here possible, whether it be a shiny giveaway, an awesome tournament prize, anything. So thanks to those guys. And so I'd like to give them a shout out by name. So thank you to Greg, Viger, Duly Noted, Sheldon, Chris, Rob, Josh, Big Jonk, Keegan, Ilaria, Sean, Michael, Paul, Dexio, Christian, Miguel, Apollo, Corey, Rotted Mushroom, Titan Killer, Lane, Lord Corbinek, Ryan, Seth Vilo, Wade, Marcus, Kinkovic, N, Alolan Durgs, Tank, Claude9, David, Swamp Rattata, Sammy, Joshua, 10 Little Men, P. McGee, The Golden Klefki, The British Gent, Brian, Trevor, Mark, TJ, Ryan, Doc Knox, Dennis, Echo, Jonathan, Disco Calypso, Taylor, Charles, Allegionary, Maxi, Shambles, Justin, Tim, Andrew, Old Man Tup, David, Piccolo, I get that, Chris, Jeremy, Louise, Justin, South, Locke, Hutt, Zach, Graham, Greg, Alec, Christopher, Jiggler, Mikey, Kevin, Josh, Dark Flame, Half-Full Reviews, Sparky, Coop, Jordan, Huitku, Shira, Zarni, Smacky the Frog, Ironcaster, Kevin, Orange Avenger, Steve, Anime Gravy, Hazelnut, Dylan, Joseph, Franco, Treby, Cordell King, Julie, and Alex. Thank you very much, guys. We really appreciate it. And yeah, we'll keep on going. Hopefully we'll have everything out by early this week for you guys, and we'll be doing those TCG cards coming up next month. So thanks for your support. And if you want to help support the show, you can go over to patreon.com/pucklepodcast and help out in the same way. So I will catch you guys on the flip flop.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.